This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
You voted to increase taxes 98 times. When they voted to, when they proposed reducing taxes, you voted against 126 times. You voted to violate the budget caps 277 times. You know, there's a mainstream in American politics, and you sit right on the far left bank. As a matter of fact, your record is such that Ted Kennedy, your colleague, is the conservative senator from Massachusetts.
Being lectured by the president on fiscal responsibility is a little bit like Tony Soprano talking to me about law and order in this country. This president has taken a $5.6 trillion surplus and turned it into deficits as far as the eye can see.
President George W. Bush and Senator John Kerry at their third and final debate Wednesday in Tempe, Arizona. NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore is away. Steve Call is the managing editor of The Washington Post, and he joins us now to talk about the campaign and other driving stories of the week. Steve, welcome.
Thanks, Linda. Nice to be with you.
Now, more than 51 million viewers watched that final debate on Wednesday between President Bush and Senator Kerry. Has campaign 2004 peaked? Can the candidates and the voters maintain that level of interest and intensity between now and November 2nd?
I think the candidates are certainly going to try. They're looking to deliver a furious finish. Their objectives are changing, though. They've both now put themselves in front of the largest audiences that they're ever going to face, and they've said what they have to say, I think, to undecided and swing voters. Now it's about getting the base out and going to the battleground states that are most important on the electoral map and trying to get their own supporters fired up for the Tuesday in November.
At this stage, voters do seem to be more interested in national security issues. That Iraq turned out to be the big issue of the campaign above the economy. Does that give Mr. Bush an edge over Mr. Kerry or other way around? What do you think?
Well, the dynamics changed a little bit. President Bush still is seen as a better candidate when the question in isolation is who will keep the country safe. But Kerry has succeeded in making Iraq an issue in the campaign, and he seems to have hurt the president with it. So the Senator Kerry did sort of accomplish what he set out to do in the debates by challenging the president on his strongest ground, national security. Yet when you ask Americans who will make you feel safest, President Bush still scores favorably.
What about the all-important undecided voter? Do you think there was enough in the last debate to tell them what they needed to know?
Well, I think all three debates together did address what undecided voters said they wanted to hear about. There was very interesting polling published on the eve of the debates that purported to describe what undecided and persuadable voters wanted to know from the two candidates. And in the case of Kerry, what they said was, tell me what your plan is. In the case of Bush, one of their highest responses was, tell me that you can admit a mistake. Show me that you are flexible. And I think that Kerry in particular tried to address that concern through each of the debates. If he used the word plan once, he used it 24 times. And in the case of President Bush, he was confronted with this question about whether he had made errors. And he decided, I think, to present himself as forceful and decisive rather than to start trying to admit which errors he regretted.
So three debates, 4.5 hours of televised face-to-face meetings, lots of questions. Is there something you think that still needs to be explored between these two?
Well, on the foreign policy side, these were the meatiest debates that I certainly can remember in a generation, perhaps since 1980, maybe even earlier. You had really sharp exchanges about basic questions of war and peace, America's role in the world, what is the nature of the threat we face, and how should we address it? And yet, there were quite a lot of areas that were unaddressed in the debates and in the exchanges. For instance, there were these sharp disagreements about whether Iraq was justified or whether it amounted to a diversion from the real war against bin Laden. But there was very little discussion about what that real war is all about. Who is the enemy? How should American power be mustered to confront that enemy? If we're not safer as a result of the war in Iraq, what does that tell us about the agenda we need to set in the next 3 or 4 years? So as substantive as these exchanges were, they inevitably were constrained on the real national security questions that the country confronts, I think.
Well, let's talk a bit about Iraq. There were two suicide bombings this week in the Green Zone. That's the heavily fortified area where most of the Americans stay. It's the two groups associated with Abu Musabi al-Zarqawi have claimed responsibility for the attacks. What effect do you think these incidents have had on the confidence of the interim government and on the U.S.-led security forces?
Well, I'm sure they're still investigating those cafe bombings, but on the surface, they appear to represent another penetration of Iraqi security forces by the insurgents. This is one of the broad patterns that has really hampered the American and Iraqi government campaign, which is the questionable loyalty of their own forces as they seek to stand up these police and Iraqi armed forces. There's repeated incidents where they have defections, where Iraqi forces are not willing to go in and fight their countrymen. And this was, a symbolic event that showed the insurgents were able to penetrate right to the heart of the American secure zone. And I think as we turn toward Fallujah and the prospect of a confrontation there, this broad question of the loyalty and motivation of Iraqi troops looms large.
There were airstrikes and ground strikes on Fallujah this week. It's been a largely uncontested stronghold for the insurgents since about April. Those strikes spilled over into the beginning of Ramadan. What do we think about the timing, the intensity of this, the potential of this attack on Fallujah?
Well, an invasion seems inevitable, but the timing of it appears uncertain. Zarqawi's popularity among the insurgents may be waning, judging by Arab media reports and evidence from Fallujah itself. There may be some conflict within the insurgency, and I think the U.S. and the Iraqi government is trying to exploit that. They're looking for the most favorable conditions to conduct an invasion, which looks inevitable but will be very difficult and costly whenever it occurs.
What do you think about the election in Afghanistan? The president's calling it a wonderful thing. What do you think? What do we learn from that election?
It was really a remarkable event. I think the most important aspect of it was that it came off peacefully, despite persistent threats by the Taliban to disrupt it. Afghans as a nation, as a people, despite their diversity, despite their conflicts, they came together and they essentially excluded the Taliban from this day. They made it impossible for the Taliban to operate, and the vote came off without any significant loss of life. It was a real victory for the people of Afghanistan, I thought.
Let's go back just for a second to the U.S. and the campaign and campaign 2004. You have some results from the illustrious Zoghbi poll.
This is just my favorite political anecdote of the week. It comes courtesy of Larissa McFarquhar. Zoghbi in 2000 walked into his call center the Saturday before the vote, and he asked his pollsters to query the American people about if they lived in the land of Oz, who would they prefer as ruler, the Tin Man or the Scarecrow? And it came back 46.2 to 46.2, a dead heat. And Zoghbi said that he knew something weird was going to happen. A few weeks ago, he asked the same question. Who would you rather be ruled by if you lived in the land of Oz? The Tin Man, all brain and no heart, or the Scarecrow, all heart and no brains? And this time, apparently, the Tin Man is 10 points up. And it's one of those, only in America would we know these facts about ourselves, but you can interpret it as an indicator for yourself.
Steve Kohl is managing editor of The Washington Post. Thank you very much, Steve. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Linda Wertheimer.